It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. I hope that you're going to enjoy the show, that we're going to talk about the issues that I think affect a lot of us, or will in the near future if they haven't already. My guest this morning is someone I've had on the air many times, who I consider to be a really thoughtful individual in the world of conservation. It's Kerry Lucht, who is the Executive Vice President of the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation in Dundee, Illinois, and who leads a whole host of discussions on how to make conservation in North America more financially effective, programs more effective, and who brings together individuals from across the country to talk about big ideas in conservation. So, Kerry, thank you for joining me this morning.
Always a pleasure, Charlie.
And I know I've pulled you out of a goose pit this morning to be on the show, so I apologize, but hopefully as soon as this is over, you can race out to the field. So let me start off, Kerry, by talking about something that was in the news this past week, and you were the first individual to bring it up, and I have brought it up subsequently a number of times. And that is the requirement that the federal duck stamp have a hunting caricature on it. This was controversial when it was implemented, and now it's turned from controversy to the inevitable lawsuit over this. And I'm wondering where you think all this goes, why we did it, why it was perhaps not smart to do this, and potentially how does it get undone? Because this is now moving front and center in the future of wetlands conservation in America.
Okay, well, let's start just by a little background on the duck stamp. The duck stamp is the single most economically efficient conservation program in the history of the United States, if not the world. It is required and has been since the 1930s if you want to hunt waterfowl in this country. And 98% of the proceeds go towards habitat. It is just a remarkable success story in conservation. And earlier during the Trump administration, his initial Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke had a very well-intended initiative to promote hunting in conservation. And one of the decisions that was pushed and approved, I believe, last year by the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service was to require an image of hunting in the design of the duck stamp. The duck stamp is chosen every year. There are many, many paintings submitted. It's chosen by a panel of judges. It's quite prestigious. In the past, hunting images were allowed but not mandated. Now they are mandated, and the next duck stamp will be of a scoff, and it's got some pictures of some images of an old duck call in the front of it. Now, why is this controversial, Charlie? Well, as we have discussed many times, both on the air and off, hunters are declining across the country, and as they decline, the amount of duck stamp sales are dropping, and I think many people, including myself, believe that this is an unnecessary requirement that could potentially alienate people who would like to support conservation but are turned off by the idea of hunting. I don't agree with them, obviously. I'm a hunter, have been for most of my adult life. Yet I think the most thoughtful among us must concede we are a dwindling group, and we need to open the door to more people to participate in conservation. Now, what has happened? The Connecticut based animal rights organization, I believe it's called the Friends of Animals, has filed suit in federal court seeking to upend it. My hope, Charlie, actually, is that the incoming administration will simply upend it and go back to the way it used to be. There are a lot more ways to increase support for the duck stamp. Make alienating people who don't want to hunt is not one of them.
We're visiting with Carrie Luft, Executive Vice President of the Maximum Grow Wildlife Foundation. And Carrie, you were one of the first people in the country to say, you know, this is well-intentioned, but maybe it's not a good idea. And you've outlined now, I think, very clearly why it was not a good idea.
So let me put it this way, Charlie. Hunters are going to buy this stamp even if it's just in crayon. So why don't we make it more appealing to people who don't hunt?
Well, that leads me to my next question. This is singularly the most effective conservation program, as you said, probably in the history of the world. So if you give to Ducks Unlimited, or you give to Pheasants Forever, or whatever organization, Nature Conservancy, World Wildlife, all of those organizations have to pay the electric bill and have to pay salaries. Yes, they do a lot of great work, but there's money coming off the top to keep them in business. In this stamp, there's no money coming off the top. So that's why it's been so effective. And it's been non-political. And
it has funded national wildlife refuges in virtually every state. Completely.
So, Carrie, if the objective is to increase the amount of funding for this program, and right now you're required, if you're going to hunt waterfowl and you're 16 years or older, you're required to purchase a stamp.
Right.
If you go visit a national wildlife refuge and you're a bird watcher, you're not required to purchase a stamp. You may pay an entrance fee, but it's not the stamp. And the entrance fee you pay to a national wildlife refuge, believe me, I don't think I need to convince you, nor our listeners, that's mostly eaten up by bureaucratic overhead.
Right.
Why don't we say, what would you think, or how could it be done to say the federal duck stamp is really the national wildlife refuge stamp? Because that's what it's done. It's created national wildlife refuges around the country. Why not have the stamp be universal? You go to a national wildlife refuge, you have to have a stamp. It could raise millions more annually and get people involved in it. Does that have any potential?
I think it's a great idea. You know, I mean, look, hunters have borne the cost of funding these national wildlife refuges, but everybody should enjoy them. Birders, people who like to hike, people who just like to observe wildlife. They're wonderful places. A few of them do require a small fee to enter. I'm quite familiar with the Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge on the eastern shore of Maryland. And in some of those cases, you can show your duck stamp in lieu of entry. I would offer that we would be better serving conservation if we required everyone who came into a national wildlife refuge for whatever purpose to purchase a duck stamp. It's not a lot of money. It's $25. I would even go so far that it could be one per car if it got down to that. But, you know, let's expand the tent of people who want to buy the duck stamp. Let's not alienate those who for whatever reason, they do not support hunting.
Well, you bring up a point which I've been aware of. Many national wildlife refuges permit deer hunting. May not permit duck hunting. If they were created for waterfowl, they may not as a refuge. But they permit deer hunting. And they permit turkey hunting, squirrel hunting, quail hunting, all kinds of hunting.
Absolutely.
And yet the people who actually go hunt there don't have to buy a duck stamp because they're not duck hunting, much less
kind
a bird.
Of ridiculous. Kind of ridiculous, isn't it, Charlie? I mean, you know, wouldn't it be nice if it were a national program that everybody could get behind, and to be quite honest with you, people should get behind it if they like conservation, because, you know, wildlife refuges, they support far more than just wildfowl. They support the birds you see in your backyard. They, you know, the ones that have wetlands do a lot for clean water, for nitrogen sequestration. These are good things. We need more people to support them. The duck stamp, you know, you and I spend a lot of time looking at programs and shaking our heads over a lack of economic and program efficiency. This is one where I can't find it. This is a good program.
Well, Kerry, I thank you for enlightening us on this. It's certainly going to be front and center for the new Secretary of Interior and the head of Fish and Wildlife Service, because they got a lawsuit on their plate all of a sudden. And yep. And the best way to get rid of the lawsuit, simply
change
go back
the
to
rule.
The way we were doing business.
Yeah.
Let's
be clear. If an entrant wants to put a hunting scene in a duck stamp, he or she may. It's just the requirement that's rankling people. And, you know, possibly the most famous duck stamp of all is the only one that has a dog holding a dead duck in its mouth. It's King Buck, the 1954 duck stamp by Maynard Reese, possibly the most famous of them all. And it is probably the most blatantly hunting duck stamp ever. So we're not saying...
Because it has a dead duck in its... The dog has a dead duck in its mouth.
Right.
Kerry, we can save money on lawyers. We're always happy to do that. We can make more money for conservation. We always want to do that. Thanks for your idea. We'll be back in just a moment with more thoughts from Kerry Luft. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors of Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland, Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are. Communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio, and we're visiting with Kerry Luft, the Executive Vice President of the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation, who's a font of ideas as to how to advance conservation. At least you are this morning, Kerry. I thank you. Now, I understand that, I know that you for a long time have been concerned about the impediments we put out there for young people, or even people who aren't so young, to be able to go hunting, and how we might be able to reduce some of those impediments. And you and I were talking recently, and we were talking about this idea, which is beginning to float around the country, of a companion license, which would enable an individual, regardless of age, to go hunting, so long as they were in the company, direct supervision of an individual who had a valid hunting license and had passed the hunter safety course. What do you think of that idea? Does it have possibility? What do you think are the biggest impediments? Give me some thoughts.
Well, I think it's a terrific idea, frankly, Charlie, and here's why. We are losing hunters in this country, and lots of people see this as a crisis, not only because it's a heritage that we're losing, but to be really candid about it, it's a funding crisis for conservation. Hunting and hunting-related fees drive conservation for a large part in this country, as does fishing. Without the Pittman-Robertson funds generated by firearms and other sporting goods sales, without the license fees, including the duck stamps, our natural resources departments would be hard-pressed. And we can talk about whether that's a smart move, but there's a lot of concern in the industry and in the outdoors community about the decline in hunting. And it's my belief we've got a lot of factors going on to contribute to that, the increasing urban demographic. But I think one of the things that's also really hard is that we make it very difficult for people who are interested in hunting to go hunting. But yes, we have hunter education in every state, but I think everyone who's been through a hunter ed course would recognize it's really a safety course. It's not a how to hunt course. And this, if I had a call from somebody tomorrow and said, I'd like you to go take me hunting if the season were open, I'd be happy to. But I would have to say, well, you have to do this, 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 and this before I can take you on private land. Those are barriers. Don't get me wrong. I am not advocating for less safety, but I am advocating for more opportunity and to make it easier for people to give it a chance to try it. Because, you know, we all went for the first time once. Some people, like yourself, Charlie, went with their parents. I happened to go with a fellow adult when I was 24 years old. I've overcompensated since then. But had I not had somebody willing to take me who was not constrained by well-meaning but ultimately limiting regulations, I may never have hunted. And that would have been a very sad day for me indeed.
I think
there's precedent for this, Charlie. If you go to a regulated shooting range in Illinois and you don't have a FOID card, you can shoot, provided that you are in the company of a FOID card holder. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the same goes true if you come to a licensed hunting preserve in Illinois. If you are in the company of somebody who qualifies, you can try it. I think we should expand that to other opportunities, not on hunting preserves, but a family farm, a piece of property that is open to the public to hunt. There should be a way to allow people to participate without the investment of time that we require, at least at the beginning of their hunting experience.
Well, it strikes me, Kerry, we got about 3 minutes left, and it strikes me that here we are spending millions and millions of dollars on recruit, retain, and reactivate hunters. The R3 program, which I've spoken many times about, on the air about, might be well-intentioned. It's going nowhere. It's an absolute disaster, waste of money, in my view. I won't ask you to comment on that, but that's my view. Secondly, we've put up all these barriers, as you just said. So we're spending money trying to recruit hunters because we know without hunters, wildlife conservation is going to suffer terribly in this country. And in the very same breath, we're making it so difficult for people to go hunting. I would hope that the professional community starts listening more to their constituents and how their constituents feel than about trying to micromanage something. You go to a hunter safety course, as you just said, in one state, Kerry, you are handed a wooden carve-out of a gun. You're not even handed a real gun. You're handed a wooden carve-out and told this is how you go over a fence and things like that.
Right.
In Illinois, thanks to the work of many people, we carved out for the licensed shooting preserve, you can go and hunt without a hunter ed course if you hunt on a licensed shooting preserve. I know many farms that are licensed shooting preserve now simply for the purpose of being able to take kids hunting. We've got
sure.
It backwards. So I thank you for your time this morning. I hope you'll give this some serious effort. I'm sure you will. And let's talk more about this and other issues in the coming weeks and months. It's going to be an interesting year.
I look forward to it, Charlie. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Visiting with Kerry Luft of the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation, this is Charlie Potter. Thanks for listening on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.